Is it possible that we actually have the genuine burial cloth of Jesus Christ? Now, we're talking about the Shroud of Turin, and that's what we're going to discuss on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Dr. Alan Wanger. He and his wife, Mary, have written a wonderful book about the Shroud of Turin, and Dr. Wanger is a retired professor from Duke Medical Center and used to teach all about medicine, but also on the side was studying a lot about the Shroud of Turin. And in a very real sense, you can call him a syndonologist, which means that he is a genuine scientist of the Shroud. Dr. Wanger, thank you so much for joining us on Vocal Point. So good to have you back on.
Fine, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Okay, so let me ask you, short version, is the Shroud of Turin, in your opinion, this 14-foot by 3-foot cloth that's housed in a cathedral in Turin, Italy, do you think it's genuinely the burial cloth of Jesus?
Yes. My wife, with my co-researcher, who was a wonderful wife and co-editor and co-author, we're both thoroughly convinced and have been for a long time that the Shroud is indeed the genuine burial cloth of Jesus, as mentioned in the scripture.
Okay, so first of all, the Shroud image shows a man, and it shows the front side of his body and the back side of his body, including the face, everything. And the image is somehow created through a mysterious process. We'll get into that in a moment. But in the meantime, there are also wounds, there are blood, human blood, and they appear in the major wounds that Jesus would have had, as in the head, the wrists for, you know, the nails to keep him to the cross, the wound in the side where the spear went through, and then the scourging, and then of course the feet. So comment about that, the blood on the one hand, and then we'll get into the image itself of how that was possibly created. So
yes,
let's start with the blood.
The blood is quite obvious. As it's the shroud of, if you just kind of look at it, it's a pretty terrible. That is, it shows this terribly beaten, scourged man who's been wounded many places and has obvious blood flows coming from these wounded sites. Including considerable blood flow from the crowns that were on his head, you know, indicating this is obviously a unique individual, since there was no recording of a crown of thorns being used prior to Jesus. And he's got not only the wounds, that actually the crowns were put on in the shroud beside the body. And at the moment that the image was formed, it not only formed the body image, but that formed images of all the objects inside the shroud, which included two crowns of thorns. So this is the, it's obvious there's a lot of blood flowing, because we can tell the details of these thorns, and they're terrible, nasty things. So that they were pushed down on his head. But of course, that is that they, in order to get the shroud on, they had to take the crowns off. But like the many the things, that is that they were put, that were associated with the crucifixion, were put inside the shroud. This may seem kind of peculiar, but the Jewish custom was that anything that was in touch with the body at the time of death or had the blood on it was buried along with the body. And so that we have not only the objects that were bloody, but we can see the blood flows from the, as you described, the crowns of thorns, the spear wound, the nail wound, and the scourging too.
Okay, as you say two crowns of thorn. We've discussed this in the past. One you said was to mock him as like the high priest. What was the other type of crown?
Okay, fine. This was not mentioned in the scripture. We were rather astonished to find this. That is, the scripture describes the crown that the soldiers made,
right,
to mock him as the king. That is, that the crown that they would have used is the one that the Roman emperor would wear, which was a crown is simply a band of of straw of some sort that was put on the head. The Roman emperor wore laurel leaves, but in mocking, the Roman soldiers just gathered up some straw from along the roadside, quickly just twisted this into a band and put it on Jesus' head.
So the thorns, the thorns then were on the other one.
Pardon?
The thorns from the crown were on the other one, the one mocking him like as if he's a high priest.
Well, there were thorns on both of them. That's that they,
yeah.
On the one described in Scripture, which is just a band, and which is probably the crown is probably remained intact in this Notre Dame in Paris. But anyway, there's that they obviously they quickly wove this band, put on his head, and then broke off pieces of thorns and thistles, which could grow in a rather abundance in Israel that time of year, and they stuck them down underneath the band, so that, unlike many depictions, the original crown was not actually woven of thorns. It had thorns and thistles stuck in it.
Oh, okay, so explain to me, what were you just saying about Notre Dame, just real fast?
Right. There's that in Notre Dame in Paris, they have what they consider to be the authentic crown of thorns.
Oh, wow. Okay. Next time I go there, I'll have to look that out. Okay, Lord willing. I mean, that's amazing. Okay. Now, one thing about the blood that is just absolutely fascinating. I first learned about this many, many years ago, and it was like, oh, that's interesting. The blood did not see decay, meaning that the man in the shroud was inside the shroud, or the shroud sandwiched his body less than 72 hours. Okay? That's the one side. But the other side is there's no smudge. So it's not as if the shroud was there with all that blood and then somebody removed the shroud. It's as if the man went through the shroud. At the moment of resurrection, Jesus Christ, poof, went through the shroud. And that blood, therefore, was undisturbed. That is amazing and you know, needs to be shouted from the housetops.
Yes, indeed. That is important. That's strong evidence that the body underwent an instantaneous transformation from a physical sense into what might be called a spiritual body, although it's still very mysterious.
Yeah.
As to exactly how it happened or the form he would be in. But
okay.
The blood flows are very important evidence.
All right. The blood was AB positive or AB. What does that mean today? O positive? The blood of Jesus?
No. The blood has only been typed as far as the AB level. So that there's only a very limited amount of blood available. And it's not been fully typed. You know, people want to do DNA on it and that sort of thing, but there's not very much blood there. But we do know it's AB type, which is not a common type, except in Israel, as among Jewish people, AB is much more common.
Oh, okay. By the way, there's a new book out, a novel called The Shroud Conspiracy, and the whole idea of it is there's kind of this race to kind of clone Jesus based on the DNA. You'd have to read it. It's kind of crazy, but it's interesting. It holds your attention. Anyway, and by the way, it's a Christian publisher. But real fast, let me ask you about the image itself. How was the image of the man, the front and the back, Jesus, how was that created at the moment of resurrection? What does the image consist of?
Okay, fine. Well, there's been a lot of discussion about this, but we've been studying very carefully and have participated in research on this. That's that the evidence is instantaneous dematerialization of the body. This is a, as some of the scientists have called this, a controlled nuclear reaction, whatever that is. But, you know, that's about the best they can come, because the atomic shows that there's a nuclear event that has taken place, which would make the molecules vanish, but with the release of radiation that is from inside the nucleus of the atoms. And so we feel that the resurrection, a great deal of energy was released. This radiation, interestingly, is all vertically directed. That goes to the contrary to the laws of nature, which says radiation goes in all directions. There's the radiation, which we can see on the shroud, and is somewhat similar, at least part of it is similar to what's called electrostatic or coronal discharge, which is, streams of electrons. But the image was formed by complex radiation, not only electrons from what we feel the surface of the body, but we can see the part of the skeletal system on the shroud. So there's some type of X-radiation coming from within the body.
So there's almost a properties of an X-ray in there. Plus, the shroud is a photographic negative, and we know where the shroud has been since 1357. And photography was invented, of course, in the 19th century. So that's an interesting thing. But what about the carbon-14 dating? That supposedly proved the shroud was a fake because it dated around 1200 to 1300 A.D.
Yes, right. That is that the first major scientific study on the shroud was done in 1978. At that time, some of the scientists, there were about 40 involved in the study, wanted to do a carbon dating, but they would have to take a handkerchief-sized piece of fabric to do the dating at that time.
Wow.
The dating techniques improved, so they got down to only a postage stamp-sized piece of fabric for it. And so in 1988, mm-hmm. they finally decided that they would do a carbon dating. A group of carbon dating experts had met in Turin in 1986 to set up the procedure for taking the carbon dating, to make it scientifically valid. And so they set up a complex protocol for that. But for reasons unknown but very suspicious, shortly before they actually took the specimen in 1988, the scientific advisor for the then Cardinal of Turin said, "We're going to throw out the entire scientific protocol. We'll throw out four of the labs, one of the techniques they wanted to use. We'll take one specimen and alter where we take it from." I mean, this appalled the scientists. I mean, you don't alter a scientific test procedure in the middle of the test.
You know, it's interesting, too. You had even said that before the results came out about the dating of that one sample that was divided into three parts and sent to three different labs, you had said that this is going to be proven false because this is a part of the rewoven part of the Shroud of Turin, because when it was went on public display and so forth, there were parts that they rewove. So there are actually credible evidence against the carbon-14 dating as being genuine, because again, it's from part a rewoven part. But I've heard one objection to the shroud from Christian sources, which is that the gospel sometimes talks about strips of linen, not just one piece of cloth. What's your comment to that? And we'll have to kind of close on that.
No, there's it mentions the cloth, and it actually we can see
plural.
Not only the shroud, but also other cloths. And John 20 describes that John and Peter saw the shroud and the face cloth, which had been on his head, folded in place by itself, as it was just outside of the shroud. This is they call the Sudarium of Oviedo, which has bloodstains indicating that it was wrapped around his head, prior to their putting the shroud on. The Jews did this as a mark of respect when the face was disfigured.
And this faith cloth still exists, right? And it's in a cathedral in Spain and has been there since the 800s. And I understand there are patterns of blood that if they were to put the shroud and this face cloth together, they would prove, they could prove in a court of law, these two came into contact. We have a little time. What other strips of cloth would there be? Real fast.
I'm sorry, what was that?
What other pieces of cloth would there have been? I believe the modesty cloth and a wristband.
Okay, fine. We can see there is one research called a modesty cloth over the lower part of the abdomen, which is visible on the shroud. We're not sure that we have that. But that is that we feel that there's evidence for the tunic and the cloak being folded up and put inside the shroud.
The tunic and the cloak that Christ had, plus then there's also the chin band.
Yes,
would there be something for his wrists also?
Yes, right. That is that the wrists are, well, there's a band probably tying them together. There's that the, in order to get the, that is, the body was in what's called cadaveric spasm, a type of instantaneous rigor mortis that occurs in people who have been severely traumatized just before death.
Yeah.
And they had his arms extended, and they had to, what they call break the rigor, that is, to pull the arms down so they could get him inside the shroud.
And they would have had to do that through some sort of cloth and hold it down. Okay, so that can explain that. We're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. And shroudcouncil.org, and the name of your book is The Shroud of Turin, An Adventure, right? Something like that?
Yes, right. The Adventure of Discovery, which indeed it is. And what we tell our friends is happy first fruits. There's a lot of people are kind of wondering instead of a happy Easter, but the shroud clearly shows the resurrection about 30 or 36 hours after the death, which happened to be on that Sunday, which was a Jewish feast of first fruits.
Wow. Okay. And on that point, we're going to have to end. Thank you so much. God bless you and happy Resurrection Day. All right. Bye-bye now. God bless. Thanks.